Hey guys, before we start this week's episode, I want to throw out a disclaimer that there were jokes made regarding the coronavirus. This episode was pre-recorded before shit hit the fucking fan. So we do just want to sit here and say that we are, as a Horrible Decisions team, still taking this serious. And we hope that everyone out there stays safe. And so whether you're working from home or not able to leave your residence, we do hope that you and your family are safe and enjoy the episodes of Horrible Decisions that we are still going to be giving you. So if you are a patron, you will still get your bonus episodes, and a little virus ain't gonna stop us from recording. So hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Now let's get on with the show. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Horrible Decisions. This is your girl, Mandy B, aka Full Court Pumps, aka Pat the Stallion, aka That Bitch. And I am joined by, of course,
Corona Beer. I have been drinking hella Corona because it's actually on sale.
Of course it is.
At the bodega by my apartment.
Of course it is.
And a bitch just, beer makes me burp like crazy. But anyway, I'm really tired of this Corona hysteria. I do want to indulge in the cheap flights. Found the lit joint to fucking Amsterdam for $1.99, and it was on Delta. But it's just kind of rainy right now there. But like Italy, I was about to buy a flight that morning, and then they locked down.
They're locked down. I don't know. I don't see too many flight deals. By the time I'm like, okay, well, I need a bag, so I'm not gonna get this shit with no luggage. Then I'm just so spoiled now. I want to make
Norwegian and all those.
I won't fly anything else. Like right now, I'm only flying Delta. But I did get a lit deal. I'm gonna go to Hawaii, which I've never been to, so I'm excited.
It's a long flight.
Well, no, I'm going.
You're breaking it up.
No, I'm going after LA, so it's from LA.
Okay.
So
yeah, that's you're breaking it up.
Yeah. There's so it's way. Like it was only like 140 one way, and then I used miles to come home. So I got the whole trip for less than $200.
That's a good idea.
So I'm excited to do that. I don't know. I'm honestly fucking pooped out of fucking traveling with the tour. Like, I'm just like, even this week, I'm like, okay, I have a few days. Let me tell this nigga he could fly me out now. And I'm just like, honestly, I don't want to get on a flight.
I'm fucking tired of traveling, actually.
I'm sick of it. And I mean, I'm not really worried. As far as the coronavirus, I know a lot of people are super worried. But I mean, we're black. So we're fine. We're not going to get it.
They just talked about how the first case in Africa was someone who, in Egypt, however, the person was German.
Of course.
And then someone says, so we still at zero?
We still at zero. So, that's fine. We can knock on whatever, but I think it's just something in our, like, DNA. We not going to catch the corona. So.
We might get half sick.
Nah, bitch. We going to catch the red stripe whenever that comes out. But, you know, maybe the Guinness. Oh, but the corona, clever. No. Ooh. You know, ooh.
Boy,
where is my drum roll?
I do want to talk about the show that we just had.
Oh no, I honestly
well, we're gonna talk about it.
I'm not gonna lie, I literally put like just how niggas ate shit for my ketchup. But yeah, Orlando, listen, y'all.
Oh no, let's talk about it.
Oh my god, y'all.
It was a lovely day in Central Florida. Our hometown, might I add, is Orlando, which just add in that I actually expected something like this to happen where I'm from, because in no other city in my life have I ever gotten in a fight. No, maybe Miami. Been to jail. Felt unsafe in spaces.
Right.
Like more than I have in Orlando. And maybe it has something to do with just.
By the way, before we start, a lot of y'all, I guess because we've been talking about New York so much. I mean, if y'all haven't gone back to the beginning episodes, we used to talk about Orlando a lot.
Oh, people didn't know that we were from
there. Yeah, there were so many people that were like, wait, hometown? Like, yes, we are from fucking Orlando, Folsom, Chapa City, blah, blah, blah.
Well, I'm not really claiming that place anymore, but I would like to give a shout out to Duval, motherfucking. If y'all don't know what Duval is, Lil Duval, you probably hear that name. Duval is the county that is prominent of the black people of
Jacksonville, Florida.
A lot of Tampa and Miami in the building. Shout out to the girls on my flight that was going to the show. So let's get back to this place. It has been said that Orlando is a city full of haters, which I don't really like to say because I've always felt like I was shown love. But I think small town cities generally don't, it's always hard for people to prosper, like whether it be rappers, it's hard for them to support their own city. And not that that's necessarily the situation that happened, but I had that feeling just weighing on me all day and it was hard to get rid of. I do want to give a shout out to Posh, who made a comment to Scissors that came. She says she came because she wanted to learn and she wanted to grow.
Right.
And I always appreciate when other podcasters can say that and openly, you know, just acknowledge that there's a maybe a blueprint for them in something someone else is doing. Maybe I can see what you're doing and emulate it to work for me, or take just notes, because I can learn from anybody.
Well, not only that, I think and this is going to be just a quick detour before we get back into the show. We do have a lot of podcasters that not only reach out to us, that listen to us. And I know that even prior to you and I starting live shows, we went to the Brilliant Idiots Live. We went to, you know, I went to friends, like we just went to people who were doing live shows, and it wasn't as prominent now, but we do go about the show in the same outline, but we make it interactive and we make it to where you don't feel like you're just coming to hear people talk.
One live show that we went to together recently was Lip Service, and I remember thinking, I've always felt like Lip Service shows so much love. And I mean, I know Angela talked about how we were one of her favorite podcasts.
Yeah, I was just on there.
And she's always been great. And I feel like everyone else likes to cause riff, like, oh, well, they don't do it anymore. But it was so nice to watch that live show and be like, wow, this is a really different sex show.
Yeah, like, yeah.
It is totally different.
But they have celebrities.
I know, but their energy is different. Like, their mission is different. The girls are different. Like, Stephanie and Gigi, to me, always remind me of, like, party girlfriends that you always want to have. Like, everyone needs one of them,
right?
You know, in their lives, and they bring that energy and they're dope. And I just think there is a lot to learn from other podcasts. But anyway, so back to what happened in Orlando. So I'm on stage, and I do want to say that I've had a lot of feelings and rethinking how I want to work through this game. But we play games and we do different things that involve people. Our show is probably one of the most interactive live podcast that you'll go to. I think Andrew Schultz said he feels like we've gamified it, and that's what makes it so interesting from start to finish. I don't necessarily feel like it's gamified, but I do think there's so many moments where you don't feel bored watching someone because you can be included. So one of the games we play, we allow people to quote unquote win our love in an essence by coming up and doing things with us. And some of it requires touching, doesn't have to, but we allow those people that are on stage to touch us. Some bitch was drunk the whole motherfucking night and really, 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 really loud. And I've noticed this happening in improvs, so much so that at the Houston show, I actually went up to a security guard and said, I need this dude to just quiet down. And I don't feel like people should be kicked out for being loud, because if you're getting excited, that means right. I'm doing a good job.
And I'm not going to lie, too. I also prefer the venues that allow our guests to drink and eat, and it becomes like a thing. And I mean, not everyone can control their liquor, and we're not here to control
it. I don't think that has to do with controlling liquor, because I've been wasted and never jumped on stage of anything. So I don't want to give her that much credit. But I will say that people that get to – there's an entitlement that some people have. And to me, when you don't have any kind of social cues, like, how could you have thought that that was okay? So here's what happens. Whatever. So I'm on stage. Me and Mandy switch back and forth from doing the game from city to city, and this time it was mine. And here's basically what happened when I replay it. And I talked about some of you guys with, you know, through this on Twitter, but so the guy that was doing the position on me wasn't as good, right?
Yeah.
But he was very nervous. So everybody was kind of like,
well,
oh,
also
come
the
on.
Problem was he put you in an oral position. It was supposed to be a penetrative position.
Right.
So it was just a
but
pause.
But still, he didn't know. And it was like more so what position would make her wet. So that was the one he thought of. And I think it was maybe on us for not saying penetrative, which I did after.
But we haven't had to say that all tour. So it was just how he interpreted the game.
So he puts me down on the floor and it got awkward. And everybody was kind of like, huh? So I'm turning around to get up. So I'm on my back and I use my hand to turn and get on my knees. And immediately I feel someone grab my hair, a hard grip, and like jerking me and like fucking me from the back. Now, what's funny is because it was so fast, I thought it was you saying, nah, this is what you're supposed to do. But then,
girl, I was stuck behind the contestants.
I couldn't see you.
The stage was so small. I was on kitty corner.
Mind you, I couldn't see anything. I just couldn't imagine it being someone that jumped from the crowd. But then I also thought in that moment, like, why would Mandy grab my hair?
But I was on the other side of the stage.
So when I finally, like, pushed her off me, or I don't even remember how it happened. I can't wait to see the video. I look.
And I have the video. Nigel sent it. He caught the whole thing on tape. I'll forward it to the horrible decision. What happened this morning?
She just jumped.
You'll see it. I'll send it to you.
So basically, the girl jumps, and I'm like, what the fuck? What did I say? Nah, you got to go? I don't remember.
No, you were like, you cute, but no. Like, no. And so, then, yeah, there then.
So, bam, that happened. So, the girl jumps on me, and I guess if you're watching it, you can't really understand what's happening. So, my mom is always on high alert when I'm in Orlando because, like I said, those are my most ratchet fucking moments of life. So, when the girl jumps on me, my mom assumes it's not a playful thing. She thought it was a fighting thing. So, my mom rushes to the stage to curse this girl out, telling her to get the fuck back. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh my God, mom, please calm down. Please calm down. I can't remember what Mandy was doing, but I'm actually excited to watch the video now. So all I remember is my mom chills out. Someone's moving the girl out. And then I heard the word bitch. For some reason, it registered a different way to me. It could have been someone at the table saying, yeah, get that bitch out of here or whatever.
Right.
But I thought it was the girl talking to my mother. So what do? Fucking, I almost took my shoes off.
That's okay.
Go ahead.
Continue the story. That was the part where, as us being on stage and us having to put on a show, like that put you in, you don't know how many people she was with. So if you jumped off stage, yeah, it's in defense of your mom, but not knowing how many people she had, you put yourself possibly at more harms to get jumped into the audience. Like,
well, I'll be real with you. I'll get jumped for my mom all day, any day. I'd get jumped for your mom all day, any day.
But the word bitch, I mean, she calling her a bitch. We're in a professional state. Like
I guess this is when they go low, I don't always go high. I'll go low to the flow with you. Like, I'm sorry, but I don't give a fuck where I'm at. If I'm at work, bitch, you call my mama out her fucking name or just anything. You don't have to know her fucking name. That was super disrespectful. That's why I flew off the stage. And I absolutely do not regret it. Time and time again, you could ask me all months from now, ages from now, I feel like what I did was the right thing. I don't really think that there can be a time or place that would be appropriate to, like, oh, well, maybe if I was just at the club, it'd be cool. Nah, it's my mother. And when I heard it, it really felt, I thought it was from her because she was screaming things out. Turns out it wasn't. And I was like, okay. In that moment, this is what was the crazy thing. It started to then hit me. My reaction was what I felt was right. And then as I walked back on stage, I was like, oh my God, are people out here nervous? Because they don't know what's going on. So that's why I said, oh, don't kick her out. You can bring her back in. She just has to go to the back. And I only did that because I thought maybe that would lighten it because I was so angry. Everyone was so hype and angry. And if she got kicked out, maybe people would feel like they can't engage. I don't know. So that part was really confusing for me too. But I felt like what I did wasn't wrong.
I just feel like in that instance.
Let it be your mom.
And that's fine. I mean, the word is bitch. There were over 300 people in there. What I didn't want is a full-blown chaos to happen. Again,
I feel like out of any time to disagree with me, this is a
shitty
one.
I mean, and that's fine if you think it's shitty. I'm just saying, thinking of not only the safety of us, our families were in the building, and and I get that. I'm saying our families were in the building. So I'm just saying, knowing that you going on stage, not only are you putting more of yourself at harm, you're putting your parents at harm, you're putting my parents at harm, you're putting over 300 attendees.
I put your mom at harm.
No, not saying that. Let me finish.
But you are saying
Weezy.
Just watch what you're saying.
No, but I know exactly what I'm saying. I'm just saying that there were people that were getting her out, and her calling anyone a bitch it just would have caused a lot more chaos, and we don't know. That's fine. Again, we're going to agree to disagree.
No one jumped on you on stage. Your mother didn't go
I get that, but you jumped off stage over the word bitch.
And I'll do it again.
Okay.
For my mother.
Okay, cool.
Like, what are you saying?
I'm just saying that there was a lot of things in that instance where I was just like, oh God, chairs can be thrown. Oh God, we're live. We're out of place. We don't know the issue. Like,
well,
to me, it has nothing to do with me
and it has everything to do with the security.
Which is fine. So, yeah, I get that. And we'll be working on that. But
I think if you're saying people were carrying her out, I don't know who those people were. Remember, I didn't see those things because it got very like hectic. And so for a while, the last 2 days, I was like, am I ever going to play this game again? That really got to me. And I was like, you know what? When I was talking through Twitter, people were saying that the girl had never even listened to the show, that she was almost ruining their experience at the table. And I think that moment was so important for everyone in that audience, because right before, King Noir was about to do some impact play or whatever, and he was talking to the girls on the side that he brought up. And one of the things I said that I wanted everybody to know was he's talking about consent with them and what he's allowed to do and boundaries before they get to get rough and have fun. And that moment is so interesting from a listener, for someone who doesn't listen to the show, to know that what she did was all about consent. Because when we were in, what city was it? Was it Houston? When a girl wanted to dominate you and another girl raised her hand and came to the side and said, can I help her? And we both said yes. Maybe you said yes because it was for you. And it's just interesting in the difference in how much this show can really teach someone, not just like manners when it comes to consent, but just from such a broader aspect, just to know that that was someone that doesn't listen that jumped up. So I've realized that, yes, I still do want to do the game, because I'm not going to take away what I think is to be one of the most fun parts of the show. And I think just moving forward, security is just a way bigger deal. And I also believe, much like we've said from the LA show, it has to do with it being so niche. Maybe people not feeling like we're quote unquote big enough celebrities, but understand that that room was crazy packed at 3 p.m. for a reason. And I feel like if it was the Marlon Waynes who came after, that could have never have went that far. But it did, because it's like a whatever thing. So I'm glad that that moment happened, because there's only been issues during the game when it comes to people jumping up. And from here forward, I think it just shows us so much more of how much room we have to grow as far as what our team is. Yeah, we know we have security there, but like, do we ever have security team meetings? No. Sometimes Vinny does them, but we don't. Other podcasters, I just feel like this could never happen to someone bigger. And that's kind of what fucks with me, is there's a lot of this that makes me feel like it's because it's us.
No, it's because we don't pay a team to travel with us the same way other people do.
That's not true, because we are paid by the venue he was securing
us. Yeah, no, we're supposed to have our own security with us. That's how the other people travel. So we're going to compare ourselves to the other podcasters.
When rappers come to a show, they have a security team, but so does the venue.
Right. So their security communicates with the irony. I had this conversation, and their security communicates with the security of the venue. So if it's really that conversation, it's not only the security, because they're supposed to secure the venue. They are not our personal security. So if we have to have the conversation, well, okay, this is where they need to be placed, that's a different conversation. But then we then need to hire our own security. Like, so if we're going to compare ourselves to the bigger podcasters, they bring their own security.
The irony of you, remember saying like last year, like, we don't need security. Remember that? Everyone acts.
No, I think we just talked about how we normally, like, our space is intimate. We are now getting into bigger venues. But we together, while we booked our tour, felt like we have a very mature audience. So even with speaking to the venues, when they would ask if there was security, whether we needed it or not,
well,
we didn't think so. But now we're doing larger venues.
You know what I thought about? I was like, bro, during the meet and greet, everybody was like, we had you, girl. We had you. And it's sweet because my mom, really, they were saying that too, right? But it's sweet to think that everybody like wants to join together in this camaraderie. But it's just like, I wondered if it was another city, like what would have happened? Like, it just happened to be the city where all of our friends and family were there. Like, what if it was another one? And I'm telling you.
But this is the third time it's happened. It happened in D.C., our very first show.
Right.
So this isn't – it's not like this hasn't happened before.
It has happened before, but right. Like never to this extent with someone putting their hands on me. It was more so people just not being able to like handle themselves and get on stage. So all I know is, again, if it happens again, I feel like for someone who touched me, like what I – especially because it had to do with my mom, I ain't wrong. And I do want to make sure that the experience is consistent for each person, each person that comes up for the next time. So for those of you guys who do come to Horrible Decision shows, I, Wheezy, am going to speak for myself when I say this. If you are one of the people that comes up on the stage and are chosen by us, if you're one of those three people, you can do whatever you want. Have fun, unless I have a wig on and I'll warn you. Other than that, you can stay your ass in the seat. Unless we decide to call upon you to help and join the gangbang orgy or whatever the fuck it is on stage. But act accordingly, be respectful, keep your hands to yourself, unless I want them on me.
All right. Well, I'm just going to, just not to keep going on this topic any further, I'm going to switch into the vanilla shit for this week. This comes from HuffingtonPost.com, and it is about compliments. We talk about the importance of communication, and for this one, I thought it was really good because it does have to deal with body positivity being an inside job, but for this one, it's women share the compliment that makes them feel the most amazing about their bodies. So I wanted to go through some of these because I do know that we have a lot of guy listeners. And I know even in the episode that we had with Ashley Chubby Bunny, we had the conversation on specifically the compliments that men think are compliments to us, as in like calling us fluffy or, you know, or squeezing our what is it, chichos or something, our stomach. Guys, I think sometimes fail in giving compliments that are received as compliments. So I wanted to go through some of these, and then maybe Weezy, you can share some compliments that you've gotten from some of your lovers or friends that made you feel just really confident.
What are some of yours?
Well, I want to read through the ones in the article first, just so that you guys can get an idea of things that do sound good from guys. So this one is, you have the most beautiful legs I've ever seen. You're like my Jessica Rabbit. You make the hottest sex face. I think that that's funny because I think a lot of us are kind of cautious about what we look like during sex. You wear a wicked grin. I don't know if many black guys use the word wicked, but just saying someone's smile is nice.
Well, UK, wicked is what? That's Boston?
They say wicked in Boston?
Oh my God, yeah. Wicked is like their shit, and I feel like in the UK they do.
You have the softest skin. Your body is perfect exactly as it is. I like that compliment. Babe, you smell so good, and I could wrap myself in you all day. So these are just a few that women has said bring them the most confidence. I would say the compliments that I think make me smile the most are the acknowledgments of the work I put in and where I'm at now. Like, I think someone's saying how proud they are of me.
I thought you meant like your body.
No. Well, that too, that I think speaks to my mind. As far as my body, I don't know. I love it. My thighs. And when I started losing weight, I actually hated how small they had gotten. But I'm, like, into my thighs. So I love when guys, like, compliment my thighs. Because it is a part of me that, especially with shopping for jeans and skirts and how they used to make me feel, I didn't really like them as much. But my thighs are something that when that compliments me, I'm, like, reassured that, okay, big thighs are kind of, you know, cool. I also like the compliments on my breast. Specifically, my large areolas. So when guys talk about how much they like my little silver dollar. Hell yes, silver dollar. Maybe fucking cup mats. I don't know. But the bitches, they big. They big as fuck.
Cup mats? You mean like, a coaster bitch?
Oh, is that what it is?
A cup mat?
It could be called a cup mat.
Wow.
A coaster. Bitch.
Whoa, bitch. I am so sorry.
I mean, a coaster. I couldn't think of the word.
This is pretty bad.
It could be called a cup mat. No, it's only called a coaster. Bitch, fuck you. Anyway, my areolas, I like when niggas compliment on my big old areolas. Fuck you, bro. Fuck you.
Oh, it took my head. fuck. Oh, okay. I'm trying to think of something that compliment this specific, but one thing I like that my man does is like, we'll be like in the mirror and he'll like tell me to look at myself and tell me a compliment about myself. He'd be like, look how pretty you are. Or,
oh, that's cute.
Yeah. He always does the offset to Cardi on me, like fixes me up, and that makes me feel so special. And then it used to actually really annoy me. I'd be like, I would think something's wrong with my face. And he just tells me how much he loves touching me. I'm thinking like something that I really loved. Obviously, you taste so good is like the number one compliment because, bitch, I'd be drinking hella water just to taste good. I don't know. I had this girl say something when we were fucking her in Puerto Rico, and she was like, where is she from? Oh, New Zealand. I can't do the accent. Fuck it. But she kept talking about how the both of us were making her so wet. She was like, I can't even look at you. You're both making me so wet. Blah, 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 blah. And like, would say it over and over. And it was kind of annoying, but I started to believe the bitch. And I was like,
Yeah, I get it.
I would say that that's a indirect nonverbal compliment that I would say I get is when a guy is around me and we not even having sex. I ain't sucking his dick, but he's hard as a rock.
Oh my, that shit.
That bad. Just makes me. You ain't even gotta say it. You know I look good because I know you think I look good because your dick is mad hard.
That's a hell of
a. So I love like. Not and I told y'all I actually hate seeing soft dick because I'm not used to seeing soft dick like with 24/7 like he was hard upon arrival.
Bro, we so gotta like, get a, like a, you have to use another reference.
What flaccid
point.
Is the word?
No, another reference point for a person.
I mean, all the other little one-off niggas too. Oh, well, perpendicular. His dick be hard like okay, when he came right through the door.
Is perpendicular?
Green eyes be
perpendicular is the guy you went to NSFW with?
No, that's okay. Canada Bay. And then, Green Eyes. Green Eyes be rock hard, too. Whew, I just saw Green Eyes not too long ago. Green Eyes is amazing. Green Eyes has sex, like, 24/7. Like, he literally is, like, the most sweetest, chill person. Like, we just be smoking together. I really just be smoking with my niggas a lot before sex. Sorry.
I feel like that's
that's my thing.
I do, like, wine. I mean, I feel like I'm saying something cheesy now, but actually, you know what I really love to do? This is dumb, but I'm into it. I like, so let me tell you guys the name of these cigarettes. They're not real cigarettes. They're made out of flowers.
What?
Seriously.
Like chrysanthemums?
No, what it's like lavender and like herbs. I got them in Tulum. I know what I sound like right now.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But they
you sound exactly like what you think you do.
But anyway, they're like so fucking natural. And if sometimes I feel like smoking actual cigarettes is just too hard, but like I want like a little something. But they're these Mexican cigarettes and they're called like Flor de Mezcal. If you guys can order them, fucking order them. They're so fire. And they make them out of actual flowers and herbs. Maybe a little tobacco is in it, but I like rolling them up. Like, that's like something I love doing. I love rolling up like little cigarettes.
The way these nails are set up, the niggas got to roll in.
Wine.
I be making them roll extra just so they could leave it when they leave. Because I can't be rolling blunts with these nails. It be taking
me
forever.
I can't roll a blunt because the licking gets annoying. But the cigarette papers I can kind of do. That's a weird, goddamn, why is all my shit got to do with smoking alcohol and drugs? What else?
Yeah, well, I do that right before, and I just love, like, it gets us chill, and then he, like I said, like, that nigga turns into another beast. But, like I said, like, I'm not used to being, like, having to get a dick hard. So, like, the compliment
of
just
the dick
being hard.
Oh, my God. I just read the hoe facts. Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. Well, fine. We'll get into the hoe facts.
The fuck? Weezy That's not real. Reading.
Yes, it is.
No.
Yes, it is real, bro.
I don't believe it.
You know what? Let me tell you.
It's a lie.
Damn, I forgot to get my source for this.
Fake news. That is
no, it's not fake news, bro. I literally was looking up facts that women should know about sex, and then it went into like some other stuff. Anyways, let's get into the hoe facts. If you guys have not picked up on the new segment that we have, hoe facts is sex facts that you just wouldn't know unless you listen to Horrible Decisions, and I'm just playing, or unless you just Google weird sex facts that you think we should know. So the hoe facts for this is, for 75% of men, ejaculation occurs within 3 minutes of penetration.
That's 3 out of 4.
However, I do want to say ejaculation could be considered pre-cum as well. Like, if you think about it, niggas pre-cum.
So, how do they know?
Ejaculation is pre-cum.
I know, but how do they know a nigga pre-cumming? How do they test this out?
Bro, I mean, science. I don't believe it either, so thank you for not believing it with me.
I didn't say this was science.
Yeah, well.
This is just a shitty poll.
No, it's not. And then, so when I get sex facts, I like to, like, do the opposite end of the spectrum. So if 75% of men are ejaculating within 3 minutes of penetration, the average woman can reach orgasm in about 4 minutes through masturbation, while through intercourse, it actually takes up to 20 minutes, which is why I would assume a lot of us are not coming, because men are coming before we can technically reach the amount of time it takes for us to orgasm through penetration. A woman will have sex with a partner more than 3,000 times over the course of her reproductive years is also one that I found, which I think that's believable because shit, I would say the nigga that you just said I can't reference anymore, we had sex at least 1,000 times. Like, we were fucking 3 rounds every time we saw each other.
I'm not saying you can't reference
him.
I'm just saying,
I mean,
I feel bad that
I'm no longer fucking
up. Good dick.
It's still him. I mean, there's other niggas, but I haven't fucked them in a while. Like Green Eyes, yeah.
Maybe because they're not local. Local dick is...
Yeah, and I've had no other local dick, and Green Eyes is... literally only like shit when he was playing in town or off season. We see each other a lot because he's met me in cities. He met me in Atlanta that one time. Like, so Green Eyes is, you know.
Local dick is a serious gift from God. Ironically, some of you may remember this. Jeeves moved into Old Bay's building.
Right.
I'm downstairs. I don't know what made me think of it, but I thought about Jeeves for a second. I'm in the lobby of the building. And I was like, damn, that was some really good pink dick. And bam, it was like God wanted to test me, bro. He fucking walks by. He's like, hey. I'm like, what, do you live here now?
That is funny.
So I don't know what to do, right? And I'm like feeling so awkward. I go upstairs. I go to sleep. Why? I had a dream both these niggas gang. Like, well, not gang.
Is that what you want? You want a threesome with them both?
No.
Yes, you do.
But I was like, damn, these are two best dicks I've had in New York. And they right in the same, one blowing up.
Ugh. I know you have threesomes with girls. Is this something that you've had the conversation about, possibly having a threesome with another guy? No. And would he have a problem with it being someone that maybe you've had sex with already?
I'm sure he would. That's not just sex. So, you know, we really cared about each other. But I don't know how he would feel about threesomes with another guy. I actually haven't talked to him about it. I did say one night, he ain't say no. There was this super lit couple. We were at Last Lap. And I ain't gonna front. We always fuck bitches after Last Lap, which is so terrible to say, but it's true. And there's this girl who was fine as fuck, and we were flirting with her. And she was like, I already know what y'all trying to do, and I got a man. And he was like, okay, she got a man. So point to me.
Right.
And she was like, he in the bathroom. And I was like, what he look like? He came out, and that nigga was fine as fuck.
Y'all could have did like a couple swap.
So I was thinking about it, right, the whole time. But they were like being buddy-buddy cool. So the threesome shit went away when it came to her, right? All I'm thinking is like, let's fuck them both. But I just, I wasn't ready to bring it up. But, and then I kept thinking, like, I was thinking real deep. Because she was like, yeah, he's playing ball in China right now. And, you know, so it's finally nice to have him back, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, damn, well, when you go back? She's like, in like 10 days. I was like, okay, we got a show on the 8th. So maybe we got like 6 days to fuck him.
Oh, Jesus.
Dude, we get in the car. And I was like, they were cool, right? And he was like, yeah, they were cool. And I was like, real cool. And he looking at me like, bitch. And I know he knew what I meant. And I feel like maybe if there was another vibe like that, maybe he'd be down. But also, I know he has a thing in his head about, like, what we do at home. I think he's really
concerned. Are you bringing him to Jamaica?
No, he said that shit too ghetto. That's what he told me.
Oh, my God.
But it's only because...
It's not ghetto. It's just black as hell.
No, no, no. I made, like, comments about hedonism the first time. He was like, nigga, what? He was like, I ain't going.
Mocha Fest ain't hedonism. It's a whole different
It's not,
different
but experience. I think that's what he's associating it with. So... I was like, you know what? We already do enough at home. Might as well just let it be like a girl's trip. So I think I might bring Rashida and Brandon, if you guys know Brandon from the Patreon episode, and a couple other friends. I don't know. But I don't think he's going to come. Plus, it's Memorial Day weekend. He's going to want to do the Hamptons because it's nigga bougie, which I would have been doing if I wasn't in Jamaica anyway. So might as well be up. Let it be my hoe time. Let me fuck somebody new. Shit.
Well, I wanted to get into this week's horrible decision just because, like, I think that there's a lot of talking points and things that this actually has to do with reality TV and then just questions that came about just the relationships and things like that. I don't know if y'all know, but I am a huge, like, fucking Real Housewives of Atlanta, Married to Medicine, LA and Atlanta.
I thought we might have an ad for one.
Listen,
of them.
I don't already like, can we bring one of them hoes on the show? Because I stan.
Is that your 90 Day Fiance?
Listen, I just ran into Angela. I had to go to the studio to pick up a box. And bitch, I looked at Angela like, ma'am, the next time you have NeNe Leakes in the fucking building, I said, I'll just come and be your bartender. I don't care if all the girls are here. I'll come and just make drinks for everyone. But I stan NeNe.
Ooh, white refrigerator, honey. Ooh, put your shoes on. We got to get you a new home.
Love those things. So actually, because we've been touring, like, from Charlotte and just Orlando and all of the touring, I've been so behind in my Real Housewives. So I went ahead and binge watched about 4 or 5 episodes. And while I'm watching it, I'm like, these would be some really good conversations to have between us as far
it's
as just like,
Atlanta.
Well, this is all I binged yesterday. And so these were the questions that arose. And because we do have so many, I know we just had the episode with Brandon where we talked about relationship stuff. And then, you know, the girls from Good Moms, Bad Choices. We talked about dating with being a parent.
Right.
So this is actually one that stemmed from, of course, Kenya. And I don't even like Kenya Ho. Can you whore? But if what? You're
okay, because oh, more,
yeah, more. Can you whore? Anyways, her relationship was trash, but you could tell like there was differences where in public she was. I would look at it as disrespect, but I want to know what you think. So, say you don't like somebody. Is your spouse supposed to also not like that person?
How much do I not like them?
Well, it's Nene and Kenya, their relationship. But regardless, I mean, regardless, I just want to know.
This is actually a very interesting question that you proposed because Scissors made a comment to me after the Orlando show. There was a girl I don't fuck with that was speaking to her. And when we were leaving, she was like, I felt so bad in that moment. Like, she was talking to me and I didn't know what to do. And I was like, let me tell you something. Like, I don't ever want you to have energy that I have.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, that's just so – honestly, I'm on a different frequency, bro. I'm not worried about someone that's talking to someone I'm with. Like, now, don't get me wrong. If they're, like, kicking it and going to lunch, sure, I'd feel away. But you speaking to someone and being cordial, I want my partner or even my ex-partner to be that way.
Right.
Rise up, like – be high above that shit because I'm not. As we know, I will jump off the stage. But I just think – sometimes it can get cancerous when you don't like someone.
Right.
And I don't want to be that person. If I don't fuck with someone, that's for a reason. I don't need you to feel like you can't speak. Now, I don't know the extent of her and Nene, and I also right. don't know how far her spouse went. But if I was in a party and my man
said hey
to a bitch I don't like?
No. I'll give you the scenario. So Kenya's man is friends with Nene's man. Kenya and Nene don't deal with each other, but he deals with her man. He was throwing a charity event and wanted the couples to come. And he was like, I'm inviting Nene too. Even knowing his wife does not fuck with Nene at all. Was like, if Greg is coming, Nene needs to come as well. So imagine if you're in that sense to where your husband knows that you don't fuck with someone, but he's like, nah, she got to be at my event too.
But that's a different thing because they already have a tie. It's not like he just invited Nene off the street. He fucks with her husband.
Right.
Now imagine that. Nah, I don't know, bro.
You don't know? Like that's why it's weird because a lot of the other girls on the show and a lot of the other women was like,
it's our
you
got to
ride. Yeah, but it's like you supposed to be on my side. Like Portia was like, if I don't like a bitch, my nigga don't like a bitch. Period.
Yeah,
and
but
that's where I want to have.
But so where I have these feelings is, for example, what happened to me with Scissors. They know each other.
Right.
It ain't like it just be, it was a new thing.
Right.
So what are you supposed to do? Not to I really feel a way about your partner being a good representation of you.
And I agree.
I don't really like to be that person that's just like, oh, fuck that hell to get. Like, nah. Like my man ain't gonna kiki with a bitch, but like if you smile and he's cordial, like that shit is fine for me. Now, I think the other thing too about this is like we associate loyalty sometimes with within our circle as in like you can't, you know, like there's no fucking way. And
right.
I just don't believe that. I really don't.
So I'm glad that you brought that up because the next conversation actually comes from something that Kenya was saying, but also a conversation that I've had with my friends. And so I want to ask you if you think does a good man cheat? That's literally the question. She said you can't be with a good man if he cheats because if you're a cheater, then you're a liar. And she was just like, you can't be with someone and claim that he's a good man if he's a cheater.
I could see that because I think that cheating is dishonesty, which in that case, no, I'll agree with that one.
It's hard because
I think you can be a good person to slip, but I mean, if you're a fucking liar, you're a fucking liar.
Your man
ain't that good.
And of course, this is the conversation that, you know, so many people are uncomfortable when I admit to it. But I recently had this conversation with my homegirls because I kind of brag about like my lovers, like the married men. Because I think they are some of the best men that I know.
You and I have both. We actually said this maybe a few months back when you kept talking about how great they were, and I'm like, but they lie.
But yeah, and so like when she posed this conversation, she was sitting with Cynthia, and she was talking about like, well, he can't be a good man if he cheats. Literally, the conversation that I had with my friends were like, damn, like
No, but that's, I mean, they're,
but
not.
They're such good. They're good men.
But you have them for moments. There are women in their lives that they've made vows to, promises to, and that have deeper connections with than they do to you. And they're lying to them and being deceitful to someone that trusts their mind, body, and spirit with. That's deep shit. And if you're continually lying and doing something like that, no, you're not that good of a man.
I gotta wonder, because I don't even know if they lie anymore. I just feel like they're women because of the lifestyles they have. It's cool. Like,
yeah, but if it's a don't ask, don't tell thing.
It
like,
is. Well, I don't ask.
But you said that you don't know.
I don't know. Like, yeah, I don't know.
There's one thing I thought about. There was a conversation I had about married lovers with Old Bay, because he asked me a question about you reading something, or it was like watching a YouTube. And he was like, why does everyone say Mandy fucks married niggas or whatever?
I mean, but I say I fuck married niggas. It's right. Not that like, it everyone says.
It was in the comments or something.
Okay.
On our YouTube page. Or it was something that someone was saying. He was like, why are they saying that? I was like, oh, well, like, she's been fucking married niggas or whatever. And so he was like, I get it. Da, da, da. He has a chick he used to fuck with that was married. And, you know, we obviously, some of you guys know, we talk about being non-monogamous and stuff like that. And I said, I'm going to be real with you. If you are ever sleeping with someone, like, you know, and we, like, ever fuck around, I really have a feeling about it being her. Because I don't like that deceitful shit. I want you to be with someone or fuck with someone that – I just feel like she could drag him down. Like, you want to fuck my nigga in secret? And then you going, what, make him, like, lie to me too? I just don't like that, like, lying shit. But I have been, for the last few years, pretty open and trying to practice honesty with partners. That's why I've had such an issue with the lying. It ain't the married thing. It's the lying thing.
But what's crazy is those – I feel like in dating, people lie. People lie to themselves. People lie in order to get you into bed. People lie because they're telling you what they think you want to hear in order to get what they want out of you.
That's just
so
not...
I feel like, well, I feel like that's dating. So I'll be honest in saying, yes, they whatever lies they're telling their partners, again, I don't know the arrangements or what they have set up. We've never had that conversation. But wholeheartedly, those are the men who are the most honest in my life.
But you always come on this podcast and talk about communication and openness and like...
Yeah, but I'm not going to ask them about that. I right, know that it's there, but I'm not going to ask them about their life with someone else. I'm not invested in that relationship.
About the people that lie when they're home male and talk about how they should open up or like not.
I mean, I open up to my relationship with them. They know when I'm dating. I've told them as soon as I get someone
else.
I'm open with them to that's our relationship.
I'm talking about when there's a home male and someone's upset about somebody lying, you be acting like them niggas is trash. So how could you think that?
I don't know if you can reference what you're talking about. Yes.
When there's a home male, right? And then they'll talk about how their man's been lying about something. You're like, no, if you can't communicate and blah, 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 blah.
And that's what I'm telling you. I communicate with them wholeheartedly. They don't lie to me. Them lying to someone that I'm not involved with is
but
nothing.
That's character.
But that's not the person I get. But I'm also telling you, when dating single niggas lie to me more than them niggas.
I mean, I guess.
So like, okay, so do I take 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
I think you're
eight.
Picking and choosing.
No, but it's also, okay, do I sit here and take a nigga that I don't know for face the whole time we're dating because he's single? Or do I sit here and because I know this nigga has nothing to lie to me about, whatever he has, I enjoy the honesty that I have with them, that I have with dealing with someone that I don't know their true intentions until it's too late. To me, dating these single niggas, they tell you the most lies. They tell you exactly what they think you want to hear until they get what they want.
So
and then
what's
it is
better,
what it is.
Dating someone married or single?
I mean, I'm not really dating them. I don't have the time to do
but
either.
But you're saying dating single niggas, they're more liars, don't get a married nigga.
I mean, no.
Who lies to their wife but not you? That's wild.
I mean, that's fine if you think it's wild, but the people that have been in my life have been really fucking honest with me. And right now, I don't have the time to date single niggas, and in the times that I have thought I had time to date them, it's just a whole bunch of bullshit.
Maybe it's because the relationships that you have with married men are more casual, I would say, right? Because you're
way more than casual now. They've been in the picture for 8+ years.
Well, okay, but yeah. So casual because you know that there's nothing going on there. Maybe if you met a single nigga that didn't want more and there was nothing going on there, you wouldn't have to worry about that shit either.
Niggas lie even when there ain't nothing going on.
When you're dating single men or when you're looking to date, which I also applaud, you let them know what you want. But if genuinely you just wanted sex or to fuck around like you do with married niggas.
But niggas still lie even in that sense.
But what do they have? have to lie to you
about anything? Bro, because niggas lie. What do you mean, what do they have to lie about? Well, like, you
no, I'm saying,
literally everything.
Like I'm friends with benefits. How do you get an
bro, they can lie and say, oh, I got, like, because I've lied to niggas in that sense where I'd be like, oh, I got something to do. What you, like, to get you to leave. To say, oh, someone's coming over, so I can't see you this weekend. Like, niggas lie. Like, let's not act like niggas just don't lie.
I'm
just
not
to
not
lie.
They lie. I'm like, just saying, like, if you're just fucking somebody, how do those issues come about?
They do. Like, okay. It's like they just do. Let's get into the next conversation, because you act like niggas don't lie.
I didn't act like niggas don't lie at all. I'm just saying,
there's many things that niggas lie about. If they have to take you on a date, next thing you know, oh, I gotta go see my mom. If a nigga was supposed to come over, next thing you know, they not coming over. And you don't know what the truth is. They could be going to see another hoe. They could be, like, niggas lie all the time. Like, so whether they're rescheduling a date, whether they said they was gonna come over and they can't come over now last minute, whether they said they didn't want a girlfriend and you been fucking with them, next thing you know, they got a girlfriend. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, niggas lie all the time. Niggas will say whatever they want to say. And I'm gonna eliminate. For the rest of the show, I ain't gonna say the N word, cause I feel like I just been saying niggas, my bad. But men, guys, the opposite sex, I don't even want to put it to just men. Like, if you're dating and you're a lesbian or you're non-binary, everyone lies specifically to A, keep you from your feelings being hurt, B, because they feel like they can get something out of you. Like, the reality of it is people lie.
That girlfriend thing is interesting too, because it's interesting you brought that up, because Old Bay had a girl he was seeing when we were just casually dating that was angry that he didn't want a girlfriend, and I think she knows that he has one now. And we talked about that. Like, do you mean it when you say it, right? Like, do you mean, when I say I don't want a girlfriend, da 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 da, because now you have one. So, nigga, was you lying?
And I had this conversation with Trill AC from Houston. Shout out to Trill AC.
Does he have a girlfriend?
No, he's married.
Okay.
He said that when a guy says he doesn't want to have a girlfriend,
it's just you.
The with you is silent.
Yeah.
So,
that's
like,
what he told me.
When someone says I ain't looking for a relationship right now, the with you is silent if they're telling you that.
So,
but however, it sounds good, but there's been a lot of times where a nigga has said, I don't want a relationship. And next thing you know, y'all are in a relationship. So, I mean, you know, give or take.
Again, that's true. I think the main thing of it, though, like, that happened in our conversation was, he's like, if I say, because I remember saying to him when I was in Europe with Vinny this summer, it was August, I wrote him a message and I said, what are you looking for? And he never said a girlfriend, he never said anything. He said something about, oh, one of them skip around answers, just a dope vibe, a connection. If something happens, it happens. And when I said, like, why did you act like you don't want anything? He was like, because I felt like if I said it and you knew it, it would have to start from right then. We would have to start working towards a relationship.
Well, and not only that, like, specifically now, I think men give you that jump around answer, because if they do tell you, I ain't looking for a relationship, and a woman who maybe is looking for a relationship,
they'll
be like,
no,
we'll be like, all right, well, then this ain't, bye.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, we're going to get those jump around. So for this, I wanted to get into the whole mail. It's kind of long, but guys, this is a good one. Weezy and I want to dig into it. Also, just because we've been getting a lot of feedback about how this show has been affecting you guys. So if you guys have home mail and want to send it in, send it to horribledecisions@gmail.com. This one caught our eye. The title of this week's home mail is Horrible Decisions Ruined My Sex Life. I might want to make that the title of this episode too, because Jesus fucking Christ. Anyways, especially since we spent so much time talking about the show this episode. So I'm going to start it. You guys just follow along with the story, okay? Because it is kind of long. So I'm just going to let y'all know now. First and foremost, I want to say that despite the title of this home mail, I love your podcast. Thank you for creating a safe space for Black women to discuss all their kinky inhibitions and allowing me to embrace my inner whore. Now, on to the good stuff. WD has ruined my sex life. Although I would like to remain anonymous, the following details involve several of your listeners and my cover may be blown. So guys, if you are involved in this goddamn shit, you done ruined her sex life, okay? Now, there are no names in this, but I do want to say, welcome to being a member of the Whore Hive. My boyfriend and I had the pleasure of meeting you guys at two separate live shows, and we're actually both featured separately.
I wish she said which ones.
Yeah, she. I don't think she says which one. She just says where they're from, I think. And so many people travel, so I don't know. However, after his experience with the live show, I've grown terribly insecure and it has affected our sex life. We were on a quote-unquote break a couple months prior to the live show he attended.
Oh, girl.
And needless to say, he was brought on stage and later had a foursome with three of your audience members. Now, niggas, I be telling y'all this shit is lit. So if you...
So I'm sorry to this man.
Of course, I can't blame you guys for his actions, and in fact, I genuinely want to be happy for him. How many men can say that they've had a successful foursome? Despite wanting to be happy for him, I cannot help but to feel insecure and somewhat betrayed now that we're back together. We've discussed having threesomes, orgies, and swinging, etc., multiple times, and I'm upset that he was part of a foursome without me. Not only am I upset about the actual act, but I am even more upset that he lied or withheld the information initially. On top of lying, speaking of lying, when he told me I respectfully asked him to stop sleeping with these women and he denied my request. This nigga was like, well, I done fucked him already. I'm gonna keep fucking these hoes. It has been 11 months since the live show and approximately 9 months since I found out the truth. He no longer has sex with those women and constantly tries to reassure me that I don't have to worry about them. We recently got back together and I've been craving to have my first MFF threesome. I've had an FFF threesome before. So that's three females. You know, y'all get that. But a part of me no longer wants to have one with him since he had a foursome without me. I'm even somewhat insecure about having sex with him now because I think to myself, how can this experience with just me compare to three women? I know it's unhealthy and there are some personal issues that I need to deal with on my own, but I'm coming to you ladies to see if there's anything else I should or can do. To top everything all off, we are in a long distance relationship going on 3 years on and off. Can I proceed with having nasty sexual escapades with my boyfriend without comparing myself to his previous / most recent experiences? Am I wrong for feeling some type of way? Am I just not ready to have a threesome or should I just not have one with him? Should I just refrain from having a threesome till we actually live closer to one another? I know this was a long email, but hopefully worth you and the whore hives while. Thank you, a bitter, ruined whore.
That was really long.
Yes, and you were texting the whole time, so I hope you caught the details.
I did. So I read it like twice. I feel like... You gotta dump him. If he could fuck three bitches and lie about it and not tell you, like...
Oh, he's probably fucking more. And that he's long distance.
What does this nigga look like?
Why do God, I always say that? Felon Bay just FaceTime me and text me. What, nigga?
I feel like you know can't really have a relationship with someone that you already know and has lied, especially to that magnitude, because all you're gonna do is question the truths that he think that you may think he's telling you and always think they're a lie. Like, the second guessing is awful. And this is why I'm such a big thing about honesty within relationships, because I've been in an unhealthy, toxic relationship. My first serious relationship, you know, he was a cheater. And then after a while, he would just – I couldn't even look at him and believe anything he was saying. He could tell me, like, all right, I'm just going to work. And I'd be like, oh, he's going to fuck a bitch. Like, it was just – I became obsessed with the idea that he was constantly lying. And I feel like that is such a quote-unquote big lie, like to have a foursome. That's a big deal.
Right.
Yeah, I would dump him. But the good news is – horrible decisions you think ruined your sex life, when in reality, it may have just shown you that that nigga wasn't shit.
Yeah, I would look at the positive on that. Also, I would think that there is something that, yeah, you can only look in yourself. So one of the questions you asked, am I wrong for feeling some type of way? I would never tell someone they are wrong in the way they feel. Like, y'all heard it in the beginning of this episode. I'll agree to disagree. Everyone thinks differently. I'm not going to tell you you're wrong for feeling insecure now and that you're not enough since he had sex with three other girls at one time. I ain't gonna lie, the dick gotta be fire. If A, you kept going back, he'd been long distance for 3 years, and he was able to have a successful foursome with three other women.
Well, the insecurity, like, always, that's a huge thing for women when it comes to sex. Like,
yeah,
you're not
of
doing
course.
Enough, especially the appetite of sex that men have. Like,
absolutely.
I felt that before.
I would say that this is something that you if you haven't yet, tell him how you feel about this, especially if you guys have still been teetering the idea of having a threesome together. You need to let him know that you don't feel like you can trust him because he lied during those 2 months without telling you. And it also, it's weird because there's the idea, there's the conversation between lying and omission of something that happened, which actually I think that that's what she said. She found out 2 months later, and it's not that he lied. He just withheld the information. And so that's
but she was there with him.
No, she wasn't.
Oh, I thought
no, nah, not at that one. He went to a live show. One. They were on a break. But I would say in terms of this is something you just have to talk to him on. If it's something to where you feel that insecure, even in your solo sex sessions with each other, that this is something that is only gonna, like, it's just gonna add on. You're just gonna, if y'all have been together this long and this is weighing down on you this much, you said this was 11 months ago, so almost a year ago, and you're still sitting on it, I would say it might be time for you to move on.
This reminds me of the Sex and the City episode when Carrie found out that Big was married, and she said, have you ever had a threesome? They were in bed together, and he was like, yeah, with my ex-wife. She was like, you were married? So the next day, she's like obsessed trying to figure out what the wife looks like, all of these details. And all she can think about is she doesn't have wild sex with him because of that one thing she found out.
Right.
When it's existed this whole time. And that – it's actually a great point to women that are like digging through phones or looking up shit. You're perfectly fine. And then when you start seeing one thing he may have said and you're just like – your mind can't stop, I think that it's going to be hard to get over. But I feel like you have to make the choice to get over it. But you know if you're ready to break up with someone, one. And two, you're ready to know. Like, you know when you can let something go. If you need him to say certain words to you, you can ask for those words. Like, I've said plenty of times, I need you to tell me that you don't want to do this anymore. And mean it when you right. tell me. If you don't say it.
To me, it's crazy because you just saying what you just said actually came – like, what came to mind is that I don't have the same sex with everybody. And so that's the thing, too. Like, depending on the partner, like, I ain't just licking everybody's ass. I'm not just sticking a finger in everybody's ass. I'm not allowing just everyone to eat me out if I, you know, if I allow them to. Like, I'm not just riding everybody's dick. I'm not riding a lot of dick. I may from time to time, but I'm not, like, it's that, like, so the idea that he had a foursome without you, but yet y'all have not yet had a threesome together, you have to realize that the comfortability and not only communication about sex, but sex in the act of it, you behave differently with different people based on how comfortable they make you feel, based on the sexual chemistry that you guys have.
There's a lot of men that have said they don't want to have threesomes with their girlfriends. Because I think what you were saying could come off as like, he can't let loose with you. But I think a lot of men get two in their heads. They're like, okay, I have fucked three girls that I don't really know or care about, or the girl that I have a relationship with that I don't know if I could handle the expectations. Like, threesomes are very scary for men. Bless you, because Corona.
But I can sneeze, bitch. It's also allergy season, ho.
When I sneezed in, like, the Uber the other day, I felt like he looked at me like,
bitch,
get out.
I ain't gonna hold you. I was on the train earlier, and now I got this big ass package, so I got an Uber. I was on the train, and I was sneezing, and I was like, mind you, right across me are two Asians with masks on, and I was like, I should probably have a mask on too, just like them. They're smart because this is a fucking train. And I'm literally sitting, and I'm sneezing, and I'm just like, these people are gonna kick me off this fucking train. I was just like, telling myself, don't sneeze again, bitch.
Did you see the flight?
Bitch, I sneezed.
There's a United flight that
I saw that because got into an argument and they had to land early.
Somebody was
because
sneezing.
Because someone was sneezing. And I'm like, bitch, it's allergy season. Mind you, you know my sinuses are always fucked around this
time. The one
time
thing
of year.
I just saw you do, touching your eyes. So interesting.
Well, yeah, this is also
Corona,
my lashes right
the
now.
Mask.
It goes into your eyes.
More than the mask, gloves, like it's your hands.
Bitch, you better wear goggles too.
It's the droplets from, they go into your eyes, nose, and mouth. And Brandon was telling me, like, makeup artists, he's like, when I'm training makeup artists, I always tell them you cannot touch the soft parts of the face. No inner corners of the eyes,
yeah,
you
no.
touch the bottom, nothing around the nostril, and nothing in the mouth. Like, that's how germs spread the fastest. So, like, touching. And it's hard when you have lashes because sometimes they itch.
Yeah.
Like, watery.
And I had freaking extension. Like,
but
I
anyway,
had the strips on. So
he listened to the show. You listened to this show. He's definitely going to want to talk to you about it now. And I think.
Because, and the three, any of the three girls that fucked him, can y'all send in the story? Because we are taking hotels. So it ain't even got to be with no questions at the end. If you had a foursome off of one of our live shows, can you please provide the details to that?
Yeah,
I would love to hear how it went, child.
So something that actually an upcoming episode, we've got a new segment, Ho Confessions, Ho/Ho Mail, where we want you to send in our stuff. We're going to do all Ho Confessions. and just that I found online, but I really would prefer it to be y'all. So please, those ladies. Also, I want to know what y'all look like. We ain't gonna tell nobody. I don't care
about what y'all look like. I don't want to hear the stories. The same way.
I want to see if like we ran into them.
The same way I read Zayn. And when Addicted came out, although Boris Cujo was perfect, the rest of the characters didn't fit what I thought they did. The same way, I still don't know if I want to see Sister Soulja's coldest winter ever, because Midnight, we all know what he looks like. And if you just give me a person and it's not what I envision, it's wrong. So I like to...
I'll take Yaha.
Yeah, I won't open the pictures. Weezy will, but I just like to hear the stories. Wow. So, yeah, before...
I do have to say, I just saw a tweet come in that says, secured my horrible meet and greet tickets, but not my car payment. What'd he do, baby?
Damn, sis. Well, damn. Well, just make sure your nigga drop you off then.
Well,
sis.
I have to pee. Mandy is going to drop our Patreon shit and our merch shit and tell you about our merch at shows. Okay.
All right, y'all. So I want to thank all of y'all for supporting us. Wait, let me give a shout out. Hold on, because we ain't done this in a while. So I know most of you hoes are at desks, but let me shout out the bitches who are not at desks. And we have been meeting you guys on the road. So I want to shout out to the bitches that make cars. I think they work at like a warehouse or they make tires. I forgot what they said they do. But we see y'all, sis. Holla at y'all. Shout out to y'all for tuning into us. I want to give a huge shout out to the truck drivers who are on the roads and listening to us. A few of y'all know that is the business that I am getting into shortly. And I'm so excited to announce FCP Trucking National. That is my new business, so I'm excited. I'm about to get my 18-wheeler. So shout out to the truck drivers, and that includes FedEx, the post workers, all y'all hoes. And then, yeah, everyone else who just listens to us on their way to work, at their desk, during their lunch, on their way home to their children, at home. I see y'all watching us on YouTube. So, again, y'all can watch us on YouTube. Subscribe and watch us at Horrible Decisions on YouTube. And, yeah, so I want to give a shout-out once again to all of our patrons. Y'all have been super lit. Because of y'all, we are able to provide merch at our live shows. So at our live shows, you guys can get the tour merch. And then if you guys are looking for other merch, we do allow those for our top tier patrons. You guys can become patrons at patreon.com/horrible decisions. You do have to type in the whole word because it is an 18 and up platform. But yeah, go ahead and check out our Patreon. That's patreon.com/horrible decisions. Send in your home mail and your hotels to horribledecisions@gmail.com. And we are going to leave you guys with a 5-minute bonus clip from one of our bonus episodes. And once again, this has been yet another episode of Horrible Decisions. Bye.
They're getting choked. So, like, if you have a knife in your hand and I accidentally get poked, like, I don't know. It got to be a butter knife. Round tip.
So, I want to read this. This is Kinkly. If you want to read more on kinks, you can go to kinkly.com. Here they explain medical play. I'm going to read this off real quick. It says medical play often involves an intimate examination wherein the dominant partner performs quasi-medical procedures.
What the fuck is an intimate examination?
I don't know. It says...
I feel like when I was about to get plastic surgery, like, oh, take your bra.
See, that's what I'm saying. Or maybe examining around the labia of the pussy and shit and all that.
Oh,
stuff.
That makes
maybe,
more sense.
You know, the no, patient is often, oh, this is some shit you would like. The patient, which would be yo ho ass, is often restrained, gagged, stripped naked, or dressed in a humiliating costume. This I didn't know. So this is interesting. It says, here goes the examination. The examination may involve handling of the genitals and breasts or the insertion of objects into various crevices. The objects may be heated or frozen to reproduce the sensations experienced during a real medical exam. I guess you're supposed to experience pain. Strap-on play is a common part of this type of examination, bitch. I think I may need to do this. Let's go. That's the part that got me excited.
I have had a thermometer up my butt when I was...
What?
Really?
Well, that's how they took your temperature as
a baby?
Nigga,
like
an adolescent?
So I was really high.
Wait, when was this? How old were you? Why are you letting niggas stick... 25. Thermometers up your ass.
So I was really high and I'm like, yo, this is the highest I think I'd ever been. I'm not gonna tell you on what, but I was like, yo.
They know you do drugs other than weed, bro.
Well, whatever. So I was like, so I was saying to him, I'm like, yo,
I feel like my whole body is hot. Like, I feel like I got a fever. I feel like really sick. I don't know what's going on. I was like, I feel like I'm 100 degrees. He was like, well, I don't know, because I feel really hot. And I'm like, he's like, so I can't do like a tester. I'm like,
you can't do this?
So
wait, so the ass is the only place you can see the thermometer, bro?
I was in Miami. It's like 6 or 7 in the morning. I walked to go get a thermometer, and I'm like, yo, I don't even think. So I did it under my tongue.
Uh-huh.
And it was a normal temperature. I'm like, I don't think that shit right. You got to put
You just didn't think under your tongue was the right temperature, so you wanted it in your ass?
I was like, yo, I got cotton mouth. The shit probably is like not that, what? It's just right. You put it up your ass.
No, bro.
That's in me. The tongue is like not that.
The tongue is in you.
I mean in. So anyway.
How deep did it go?
So he puts it in my ass, and then like I made some kind of noise, and then suddenly I felt more of it in my ass, and I'm like, is this turning into sex?
Is that what, he stuck his dick in your ass after?
No, I mean, like, he just kept fucking me with the dude, I'm so glad this is on the Patreon episode.
Oh, I'm putting this video, though, for everyone to see.
So
you were getting anally fucked with a thermometer and enjoyed it. You were moaning. I'm finishing. It says medical.
I didn't say it. Dude, it could be any. If it was a toothbrush, I wouldn't have known. It's not like I enjoyed it being a thermometer.
You said that too quick. Do you be sticking toothbrushes to open your ass before you got the butt plug? And then you move to a brush. Did I show you the video where the nigga was fucking his ass with the end of a brush?
The hairbrush.
I told you with the hairbrush.
He was cute.
We have someone looking at us.
Some basketball playing nigga that Mandy was fucking. But
don't
anyway.
Do that. So it says medical sex toys like Wartenberg wheels and speculums may enhance examination. The examination may culminate with an enema or the masturbation of the submissive patient. In more extreme cases, here we go. Medical play may involve the acting out of an anesthesia fetish, piercing, skin stapling, or the insertion of urethra sound.
Ooh.
We're going to talk about that later. I don't want to talk
sounding. No. Okay. The anesthesia fetish.
That's fucking someone that's passed out, right?
No, I was reading about like people using chloroform like for sex and like really enjoyed it. And it's like consensual like chloroform, like they get it.
No, bro. No.
One other thing Zoe told me, like her hospital stories, we got an interview her. She said like the weirdest thing she's ever pulled out of someone, she said that she had a girl that was addicted to the feeling of like she was swallowing batteries and putting magnets up her ass. And apparently when the two touch, like they draw closer to each other, and it was fucking with her intestines. She said that bitch was in there 4 times trying to like they had to remove it from her. She was like, stop doing this
yourself. What is the show? It's called Sex in the ER or something, where people like go to the ER off of crazy things that happen during
sex. I'm just trying to fuck a doctor. That's it. So
I know you are, bitch.
I don't even need it. If I got to swallow a battery for him to go inside of me, I will.
Ew. So, ew. That's the kink of the week for this week, guys. And it had a whole lot of shit to do with it.
Wouldn't that be hilarious if you like sent yourself to the ER and then you're like, what? Who is this bitch? I want a doctor. No. Get him in here. Shit.
So the horror.